Hello and welcome to the Talk Tonight podcast. We're joined by a very special guest, who's Joe from Himalayas. How are you doing today?
I'm very good, thanks. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. And we're also joined by Georgia.
Hi.
So, first question, self-explanatory one. How did you become Himalayas? Was there like a special kind of like story behind it, or is it?
I think there's this. Not really special. I think we always try and work our way to try and think of the funniest thing to possibly say on the interview. But I'll keep it truthful. when we sat together, we always egg each other on to come up with the biggest like possible like fabrication of the truth. But myself and Mike went to school together with James. James joined when we were like maybe like halfway through. He came from Dubai, and we kind of just. We were all in bands and all like sort of friends. And I had, in my first few years of school, I had really questionable music taste. And some people would probably say I still do, but I think me and Mike like sort of formed a friendship over like really good bands and kind of want to be in a band. Cause at the time really in our school, nobody was kind of interested in doing that kind of thing. So we were both really interested in kind of just creating some really good music and trying to listen to really good music. And then we got some songs together, and James joined, and then Louis joined. But the name Himalayas, we kind of chose that late on because we were going under other names and kind of really questionable names as well. But it's kind of like as soon as we got the name and we kind of started to get it together, I think it kind of, that's when we became Himalayas as a band. Mm. I think definitely each individual member like adds something to us. I think without one of the boys, I think we'd be a very different band.
Mm. Well, I quite like the name because, sorry, Georgia, carry on.
What was said questionable music taste?
Oh, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this. No, I think like R&B, like old R&B, like a one.
That's so different to what like you create.
Yeah, I was like. Back in the day, like I was really into like Neo and things like that, like Mario, and I'm still into that kind of stuff. So it's this kind of thing where I play like really, you know, I try and be as cool as I can be. But then as soon as we get like a, you know, like some kind of disco or something, you're on a night out or something, and then the songs start playing, or you're in someone's house and old songs start playing. I think I'm first on the dance floor for that.
Well, I mean, they're legends, so may as well dance to it.
I'll probably get ripped for that, but
nah, we all go through the phases. It's
yeah. I remember being in like year 9 or 8 and listening to like 50 Cent in the Game, thinking I was like, yeah, it's mad.
I do question some of the choices I made, but you know, I think I found my way to where I am now, and so. Mm. Some people still think that's questionable, but I think I'm okay with where I'm at.
So your new single got released today.
Yeah.
Has there been a good reaction so far on social media?
Yeah, it's been insane. It's been amazing. I think it's always surprising every time we release because we always get like really excited about like this kind of thing. And it's been so long since we last released music, I think. Yeah. Just for a number of reasons. And I think this is the first time. Well, the best time probably for us now, even with this whole coronavirus thing, I think we've kind of built up now behind the scenes. So we're really excited because we know what's still to come, as well as this new song that's out today. Mm. We kind of, you know, we're lucky because we're in the know. And I think that's something that we're all really excited by because we've kind of spent a lot of time itching to get going again and kind of get ourselves back to it. So I think this is like probably the start of, for us, it feels like the start of, you know, like the clicks of a roller coaster when it builds. I think that's we're on the early stages of that, but I think it's exciting to get going.
Definitely. You're on like a little pathway to stardom, and you know,
yeah, maybe.
Getting there.
I think I listened to it like 5 times today.
Oh,
just an absolute banger.
Thank you so much.
What's the reason behind it? It's quite heavy.
Yeah, I think we kind of try our best to not really pull any punches when it comes to like what we want to say. I think I think we're in a world that's like quite tentative about the way you're allowed to speak or the way that you can speak. And so we kind of just, we wanted to share our message because not, I think a lot of people don't bother to anymore. I think we're in like a kind of generation where, you know, even a positive message, like we're trying to share this really positive message for the fact of like how hateful people have become. And especially on things like Twitter and just using the wrong scapegoats and the most popular scapegoats to kind of like, instead of fixing your problem or fixing the problem in general, I think just people coming together really to kind of make this world a better place. And I feel like there are bits of that here and there. There are kind of like little hints of people like really making a stance and kind of getting together and doing something better. But I think, you know, there's a lot of stuff where people are sat on their phones and kind of making really horrible, you know, sat behind a keyboard or just making horrible. Yeah. And I think it's just demoralizing, really. Like, I think you know, with everything that like you spend so much, everyone spends so much time trying to be, you know, a lot of people will try and be the best person they try and can be. And I think it's quite easy to be lost in all of the hate and all everything that's said. So I think there's a number of reasons really we kind of got that song together, but I think that's the main one. I think people just using their anger in wrong ways and instead of actually addressing the problems we face and fixing them, people just using the wrong methods and the wrong solutions.
Mm. Big answer, but a good one.
So,
go on, Harry.
I was just saying, so obviously you're on 200,000 streams on Spotify. How's that feel like right now before you've even had an album out?
Yeah, I think it's insane. I think we've had a couple of songs go over the million mark now, which is insane. I think we were all really surprised when it happened, and like it still is incredibly surprising now. And I think it just makes us really grateful as a band. Like I think we're like very much a fan driven band, and like a band who kind of really dependent on our fans or people who listen to our music. And I think even live shows and just getting to meet the like fans or people who enjoy our music after the show is like always like our highlight. You know, we're not just doing this for us, as enjoyable as it is, and like, you know, we dreamt about it since we were young. It's nice to kind of enjoy it with someone else or enjoy it with other people. And I think when we got those numbers, we were never really expecting it, but we're just kind of humbled by it and kind of appreciative of really what other people have done for us, really.
Mm.
So when your experiences with Reading and Leeds, so you've got your poster behind you. So you played the BBC Introducing Stage for 1 year, and then you jumped straight to the Festival Republic stage. So do you think that was a big jump, or were you sort of expecting that?
I think it was a big jump for us. I think because we were like, the year before we did like a one that was outside of the festival, just outside of the main arena. And it was like Philip Thielen and Jack Daniels. And we did like a show just at Reading Festival, that was the year before. So we kind of had a taste of that. And then we jumped to the BBC Institution, and then we were like, this is amazing. This is unreal. And like the photos and videos of the crowd were just insane. And like myself, Mike and James, we've all been to the festival as punters, like when we were younger. So like I've watched bands play the Festival Republic stage, like big bands, like, you know, like Blossoms, and you know, I saw JMT play Secret Set there, and I you know, there was like bands who I was like really impressed by. And for us to be able to play that and to have the crowd we had, and it's insane. I remember all of us, I think that's the most nervy we've ever been for a show, just because we had always wanted to do that show. We'd always wanted to play Festival Republic stage at Reading and Leeds. And I think it was kind of a shock really to the system when we found out we were going to play it. But I think as soon as we did, we were just hoping that we'd make the best show possible for everyone, really. Cause I remember seeing bands there. So I was like, we want to be one of those bands. So it was amazing though. It was unreal.
It must have been a real experience of seeing a lot of people there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. In a sense, because like I'd love to say that I don't get nervous for shows, but generally you as soon as you walk past the the backdrop and you're okay. I feel okay. Like that's where I feel pretty good. But it's just before that, it's like that. It's more anticipation really than nerves. And I think it's the kind of thing where I had seen bands play to like 10 people in that festival public stage. Like it's a big stage, but I've seen big bands play there and play to not that many people. So we were a bit apprehensive as to who was going to be there, but it just happens that we had like it was huge. It was insane.
You were like quite high up, weren't you, on the Sunday, weren't you? I think.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Sunday Reading, yeah.
We had like the right placement as well. We had like the people behind the scenes managed to do us a favour. I don't know who we have to thank for that. I don't know if our agent or the festival, but someone did us a favour.
Someone put you all the way up there.
Yeah, that's the thing. Someone just went, oh, yeah, we'll stick these lads up. And we owe someone a beer somewhere.
Treated you well, so there's no complaining.
Exactly, that's the thing. I think it was good. We weren't on with like any other... I don't think many other rock bands were on at the same sort of time as us as well, which is...
No.
It always helps because, you know, you don't want to be on at the same time as like Foo Fighters and be playing to just help.
And about two people just sitting there.
Yeah. I think we probably have just gone, we'll go and watch Foo Fighters, probably best, isn't it?
That must be quite flattering though, isn't it? Like, say if you are but at the same time as like a headliner like Foo Fighters, that must be quite gutting at the same time. As well as like privilege to play a festival, but they're gutting at the same time as you're on the same time as them.
I don't think I'd be as gutted about people not being there. I think I'd be more gutted that I miss Foo Fighters. I think something like that, I think.
You guys tend to have a good social media presence. Do you have any sort of Himalayas mad fans yet?
I wouldn't say mad, as in like... but I'd say we have really loyal fans, I think.
Mm.
I think we're amazed by the placement of fans as well, because when Thank God I Met You start to blow, like kind of take off in a way, like like loads of our listeners in the US and like Europe and mainland Europe and stuff, and like, you know, we've had countries and places we never expected to even our music to reach in such a way, let alone go and play. So when we've done European shows and stuff, and when we went out and played Southwest in America, we were kind of blown away by the support. The people already knew who we were, kind of thing, or the amount of people who know. And I think it's like down to like things online, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes things online, you know, can be really detrimental. Like, but I think in general, that whole idea of like bringing everyone in to be able to listen to something, no matter how big or small your band is, I think it's great. I think we've been shocked.
Speaking of South by Southwest, how was an American festival? Was it different or was it kind of similar?
It was insane. I think when we went out, myself and Mike were like, we were 20, just about to turn 21. So me and Mike couldn't drink, and we were like, kind of like, this is actually probably a blessing really, because we got to like drink it all in, I think. And I remember everything as well. Whereas like, there's other days where you don't remember so well. And like, I think we were able to like remember that and take everything in from that festival. I think the way it was different was like, obviously because South by Southwest was such an industry led sort of festival. But like when we did shows, we did some like, you know, shows like in showcases that other people came to. And I think when we played our first show there, which I'll always remember, it was insane. We played at the British Music Embassy. And
amazing.
It's quite this big venue, and it's we were playing for BBC Introducing and Radio 1 and these kind of things, and we played just before Pale Waves, and I remember the tent was like not the tent, this room was so full, and the crowd, when they were filming the crowd, there were like lines of people down the street, and people like they had the windows open, like the kind of shutter windows open, and you could see the street outside. And it was like the crowd didn't stop. We literally like couldn't see the stuff of the crowd, so it was insane. I think, and everyone's just was so friendly. I think I think we were kind of happy to speak to absolutely everyone, because we were just like our first time out in the US, so we were kind of it was insane. It's one of those things you like on your bucket list you have to tick off, I think, or like we'd love to tick off, and we were lucky enough to be able to do so.
Yeah, it's a really good festival to sort of break out over there as well. So that must have been a really good opportunity to be asked to go over there.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's developed our crowd a little bit more over there, because I just think, like, in terms of the fact that people know you've been and you could potentially come back. So I think our hope now is, like, with COVID and coronavirus going, that as soon as we can kind of get back to it, we'll be doing shows outside the UK more. Because I think there's seems to be quite a big call from everyone who listens to our songs for us to go and play in the States and Southern Americas and Europe more, which we're really keen to do. Like, I think we love playing shows here, but I think going away sometimes and playing elsewhere kind of makes it feel even more like home when you come back.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So
go on, Harry.
So how's coronavirus been for you as like a band? I know it's been quite stressful.
Yeah, it's been okay for us. I think we're more like worried about everyone else, really. I think like everyone around, or you know, like you've got to do your bit in order to make sure everyone's okay. And in Wales, we have a slightly different, like we're a little bit further behind in terms of like how we're relaxing the lockdown. So I think for us, it's been slower or more drawn out, kind of. But I think we're appreciative of that, really, because I think it's the kind of time that we're never going to, you know, may never ever have again, where, you know, of everything stopping still. I think it's the biggest thing for us is this whole thing. And I know we did something yesterday for it on socials, and the whole industry did it for that, let the music play.
Which we
are really behind, because I think it's the music industry and the arts in general are just such a huge, huge thing for the UK and for the world, really, as an economy and just in general for like people's well-being. I think, and I just think it's so detrimental with like small venues and just bands in general. Like we can go back to this and there'd be loads of bands or festivals that aren't there anymore. And I think it's like the prevention of allowing those festivals and venues and bands and musicians to stop. Because realistically, I think we need those bands, we need those venues, and we need to do as much as possible to keep that whole world going and keep the industry going. But I think that's the only way, the main way it's affected us, really, because we've just been able to kind of plan, really, and just plot for the next however long. So it's exciting as well.
Yeah, so it's sort of like now you've only got the interaction of fans through social media. So do you think that has helped a bit for you guys to get through this pandemic, maybe?
Yeah, I think fans have, definitely. Because I think, like, it's always fascinating or really nice to, like, go through people's comments or, you know, like, I know they say you're not supposed to or whatever, or, like, just read people's messages, because we do our socials, like we do all our social media. So like that's that, like, you know, I always think as well as the music, that's the best bit. The best bit is like the meeting people after or the show, or like just like, no. Yeah, I think that's the best thing. I think honestly, I just think the meeting people in general who you wouldn't have ever met before in your life, or who they may never have met you unless it was for the band or unless it was for, and just even other musicians as well. I think there's so many people we've met that I've stayed in touch with and I'm like from all over, really, that are now like considered friends or considered, you know, like people we speak with often. And I think it's all thanks to the band and generally thanks to people taking an interest in our music. So I think even though we've not been able to see each other, it's still been amazing to kind of to hear what people have to say or to take time to actually listen even more, or have conversations with people behind, you know, like just as someone messages and you just have a conversation to see how they are or to see how things are. And I think that's like amazing, but I think we can't wait now to get back to a show. And I think we don't want to rush it because, you know, we've got shows in November, so hopefully they'll still be going ahead because we'd love to, but I think for us, like we want to make people sure people are safe. And I think, you know, I think that's our main priority. But I also think we'd love to meet people, more people, and, you know, have more people come to our shows.
So in general, if you take the pandemic away from it, imagine if we didn't have coronavirus right now, do you find it easy to keep on top of your social media? Because I know some bands do actually find it difficult to break the barrier between going to work, like doing an actual full-time job, and recording and interacting with fans. So do you find that easy, or is it swiftly for you?
Yeah, I think we actually enjoy it. I think it's like, it can take up a lot of time. Like, I know, like little things, because we do quite a lot for our, like, you know, independently, like quite a lot at the minute without other people doing things for us or on our behalf. So I think we take a pleasure in kind of doing it, because we're all quite controlling. We all quite control freaks of our own band. It's the kind of thing, we don't kind of want to let someone else do it, because we enjoy every part of the band.
I'd be the same.
We like to keep an eye on things anyway, to make sure, like, it's our message show, and it's our message to other people, so we don't want, you know, to get that wrong.
It's music at the end of the day, so you want to put that out as you want to.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think a lot of stuff we do is deliberate, you know, like, in fact, everything should be deliberate, but I think it is, and I think every little thing, whether it's a certain post or a certain thing that's done, and to most people that'll seem like, oh, they just decided to post it or whatever that day. But I think we really take a look at, like, what we're going to do and, like, how it'll convey our message, I think.
Absolutely. So you guys are from Cardiff, which is a very nice city. The music scene, would you describe it as a big one?
I think it has this, like, kind of peaks and troughs kind of thing. It's like, it's definitely growing at the minute. I think there's loads of bands that come through, especially in South Wales in general. Like, because I think there's kind of, like, in Cardiff, there's a scene, but I think it goes wider. It goes slightly further out to, like, Swansea and Newport and places like that, because we kind of all, it's like London in a sense, where, like, bands from other places come and kind of join the scene. And I think that's the kind of thing with it, really. We're lucky to have such great music to have listened to previously, like Manxtree Preachers and Stereophonics, and, you know, huge bands from Wales that are just insane. And I think we're lucky to have that such rich tapestry of bands previously. And, like, with, you know, like bands with Buzzard and Pretty Vicious and things, I know they've split, but I, like, just those bands.
Very good. So.
They were good, yeah.
Yeah, just those, like, those bands that kind of keep it going. And I think hopefully we'll be keep going and going and going, because there's loads of great Welsh bands. And I think there's just something different here in terms of, like, some bands. I think it's just, like, got, you know, like, there's not necessarily, like, different as in, like, I'm really better, or I'm putting any other country down in terms of their music. But I just think there's something that makes Welsh music the way Welsh music is. And I think that's, you know, I think there's something about being proud to be Welsh. And I think you just automatically have that, I think. I think it's just...
that you're proud of where you're from and you take pride in that.
Yeah, definitely.
So many new and upcoming bands in Wales,
in
particular, that it's hard to pick which one's the best. But I don't know. Which new bands would you ideally want to play with? So... If you could choose, like, two support acts, but they have to be new and upcoming bands, which ones would you choose?
Oh, to support us? Okay. That's a tough one. there's a band called Al Moses from Cardiff, and I know the boys in Al Moses, they're really cool. They're really cool. It's tough to figure out who. My brother's in a band, so I'm going to just say Butte. If you get a chance to listen to them. Sam's a good friend of ours. So, yeah. So
my good friend as well.
My brother's in the band, and he's the front man. So
is that Luke?
Yeah, Luke, yeah. So I've got
him in. Oh, my gosh, your brother's Luke.
Yeah.
That's a very small world. Very small world. I had Butte in my magazine that I made.
Oh, really? Oh, that's amazing.
With me, yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah, they're good. I think they've kind of taken some time with this whole coronavirus thing to kind of get back going. But I think they're really great. I think they're great. And I mean, I'm probably biased, but
I mean... So yeah, so you choose Our Moses and Butte.
Yeah, just off the top of my head, but that doesn't mean there's loads of others, and I think that's why it's so difficult. Because I can think of loads, but it's just, it's trying to, you know, I've got to put my brother in there, right?
Of course you have. You've got to support the family. So if you wanted, if you were playing, say, the O2 in London as well, what other bands would you want? So they have to be, like, national. Could be anywhere from Scotland. Who would you have support? I mean, you can put Peter Al Moses in there again if you really want to.
Yeah, I mean, I'll change them. But, I mean, like, even though they're probably, like, bigger in terms of like audience on like social media, maybe I think Nova Twins, if you get a chance to listen to Nova Twins, then then I think they're great. Like, they're really, really cool. I really like them. I think there's a lot of good music, female friendly music at the minute as well. I think we absolutely love. I think the Mysterines are really cool as well.
Mysterines are class.
Yeah. I saw them supporting the Amazons on tour. They're really good.
Yeah, I just think there's like quite a lot of good music coming around, and I just think like there's a lot of female fronted music that's just insane. So I think those two would probably be, if they'd be willing to support, they'd probably be the two bands that I'd just straight off the top of my head choose, I think.
So last but not least, future plans. What are they? If you can tell us, then that would be great.
Well, doing the O2 Arena with Nova Twins and the Mystery thing. I think just more of the same, really. I think we want to just go bigger with everything. I think
we're releasing. Go bigger, go home.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, we're going to be releasing way more music now, which is really exciting. And I think I've got to be careful on what I say. Because I don't want to do that whole thing. I've seen, I can't remember, it was Van McCann. He used to just tell like secrets on things, and I don't want to be that guy.
Don't be Van McCann.
Yeah, I think that's kind of thing where, that's gonna be a phrase now, doing a Van McCann, that I'm gonna say quite a lot. I think maybe just doing the same thing, but just making it way bigger. I think the shows we're gonna hopefully make bigger. The singles, the songs, like the music, and I feel like towards, you know, like some stuff's been pushed back a tiny bit just in the general scheme of things, but I think we have no real rush to put out an album, because I always think the people sometimes rush an album based on like just not having the patience in order to kind of hold back and just make sure it's the best album they can, especially a debut. I think we kind of want to know that it's going to be the best album we can possibly do, because if you only get one shot at making an album, you better make it the best album you're going to make it. So I think that's for us is like where we're at. I think there's loads of songs now that we've got and written in lockdown and like we've recorded already and stuff that's ready to go that we're just really excited by.
You're raring to go with that then.
Yeah, definitely. I can't wait. If we could do another one next Friday, I would.
You got any plans to come to London?
Hopefully the November show will go ahead. We're doing like the Grace. And the last time it was just before lockdown, it was like really close to selling out. So if you do happen to want to buy a ticket for the London shows, for the London show, then just, and any of the shows in the November tour, the UK tour, the tickets seem to have just flown out. So we were kind of urging people to kind of, we were urging people to kind of buy sooner rather than later. And I think we'll do the same now, really, because at some point, you know, even if we have to reschedule those dates, if we have to, I'm hoping we don't, but those shows will sell out. So I'm hoping that everyone gets in quick.
I'll get one.
What's that like when, when you put like a tour on and the tickets go quicker than expected, and that's quite like a surreal feeling, isn't it?
Yeah, it's insane. I think it's like I always think of it like a kid on Christmas when you wake up and you just see, like, it's the same like releasing music. Like, I was set up to like God knows what time last night, just waiting and like looking at like the numbers or like whatever coming through, and like looking at people's messages, and like, so I think it's the same thing with tickets as well. When you see tickets or like just in general, like people buying into the band or like investing their time and effort, I think it's insane. There's some days where you just feel like pinch me kind of thing, so which is, you know, really humbling.
Absolutely. I'd be excited. I'd be sitting watching the clock if I had a song coming out then. I'd be sitting like, come on. It's a really good single though. You've done really well with it. Yeah, so we'll have to keep pushing it out on social media. So.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I'll keep tweeting it every day.
Yeah.
But this is a big tune. I said that yesterday, yeah. but it is. It is.
Yeah. Just before you know it, you'll have like 100,000 listens on it and you'll be
Yeah, that helps a
lot. Got lots of faith. Well, I've got no more questions of you, Harry.
I got one little, but not little. It's like on the spot question. If you're stranded on an island and you could only take one album with you, what would it be?
That's tough. I mean, I have like loads of different, like, I don't know. There's loads of things that I think people won't be expecting me, maybe, well, if they know the music to like. That's a tough one because I think there's so much music that goes back that you kind of choose, but I think at the minute, just on this moment right now, I think I'd probably take Like Clockwork by Queens of Stone Age. Mm-hmm. I just think there's so much about that album that just sits right from track. Yeah. I think they're a great band, and I think that's the thing. That whole album speaks for itself, and kind of you could listen to that like pretty much any day of the week and kind of be like, never get bored. I think that's probably it.
Well, I was reading that Queens of Stone Age are probably one of your influences, aren't they?
Yeah, I think one of them, we all like have individual stuff and like read why we got into music and like why we've developed in a way. But I think Queens of Stone Age are probably one of the bands that brought us most together. I think them and Arctic Monkeys and bands like that. But especially myself and Mike, like we were like the Beatles and like stuff like that, like early days on. And then like I remember showing Mike like the Strokes are the reason, well, for me anyway, Julian's voice was the reason I kind of like, oh, I want to be in a band. So there's loads of bands like that kind of just bring us together. But I think Queens of Stone Age probably are one of them as well.
Mm. Yeah, they're quite varied, aren't they, by album and that. Yeah. Everyone's different. I think that's important.
Really. Yeah, definitely. I just think some of the stuff they do, and they're able to replicate it live as well, which is always like, you have, like, you know what I mean? I feel like you have to. If you can't do it live, then, you know, you probably stretch yourself a bit too far.
All right. So that's, well, thank you, Joe and Georgia. It's been a Fortnite podcast.
thank you very much.
Find us on all social media. You can find Himalayas on Spotify, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. So thank you for listening and have a good day and stay safe.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers.